Tereo Ererangi o Te Mania. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora tātou, namahi nui kia koutou. A warm welcome to Cab On Air, a program brought to you by Citizens Advice Bureau, where we talk about your rights and where and how you can get help to support you and your whānau. Our focus is on some of the hot topics we see at CAB, and we invite other community organisations to join us and share information about their services as well. Ahi ahi marie, ko Roni aho. I'm your host for today, along with Tom, our technical producer. This week in the studio, Tom and I are delighted to welcome our two guests from Whānau Āwhina Plunkett, Suzanne Johnston and Jenny Saito. For over 100 years, Plunkett has been walking alongside families and helping children in Aotearoa get the best possible start in life, especially in the first 2,000 days. Certainly helped or developed enormously from the Plunkett I myself used as a young mum 50 years ago, and that's scary. Today, Suzanne will first overview the huge range of services that Plunkett makes available to the community, and then Jenny will focus on her role supporting families within the migrant community. So let's start with a brief intro from you, Suzanne, if that's okay. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and your role?
Yeah, kia ora, ko Suzanne Johnston Tokawingwa. I am the Clinical Services Manager for Whānau Āwhina Plunkett, TY Punamu. So I grew up in Southland and I trained as a nurse in Otago, where I completed a Bachelor of Nursing. And I worked in Otago Hospital for a period of time and specialised in paediatric nursing. I had a time overseas and then returned back to New Zealand where I raised my family and connected in with Plunkett as I just felt a connection to their vision and the mahi that they were doing walking alongside families in Aotearoa. So I've worked in Canterbury as a Plunkett nurse on the front line for a period of time, but I have moved through those spaces and worked as a clinical leader and now work as the clinical services manager for Whānau Āwhina Plunkett.
Okay, well, that sounds like a natural fit for you, Suzanne, actually. Yeah. And I was really amazed to hear about the wide range of services that you offer. Maybe you could take us through your impact with newborns, because I think it's considerable.
As an organisation, we see around 80% of all newborn babies in Aotearoa and about 58% of newborn Māori babies. So Whānau Āwhina Plunkett is perfectly placed to make the difference of a lifetime in those vital first 2,000 days of a child's life.
Okay, so those are high numbers. So do you work alongside others in the field as well?
Absolutely. So we work in collaboration with other agencies across our communities to try and offer the best start for every child.
Okay. So can you tell us about what some of the other services are that you offer? I can remember going to Plunkett rooms for baby weighing and checks, and that was about it really in those days. I'm sure things have changed quite a bit since then.
So we deliver free health and development checks for all our whānau alongside Wild Child Tamariki Kia Ora contract, where we deliver free health and development checks. We also offer a huge range of additional services. So we have things like our Plunkett Line service, which is a free 24-hour-a-day, 7 days a week parenting helpline. And we also offer a range of services locally in different communities. So we really believe in walking in partnership alongside whānau. We want to listen to them, support them with what they need. We're not there to judge or tell them what they have to have or how they need to do things, but we're just there to support.
Okay, well, it sounds to me as if, because you're a national organisation, that services get niched really to local communities. So that means that you're probably always adding things on or looking for the next, you know, where the services to your local communities as well and see where the gaps are.
We really work hard to just understand what's happening in communities and then respond to them in a timely way. So for in our Canterbury region, we absolutely have a maternal mental health support team that work alongside our mama and Pepe in the community, as well as an infant mental health service, which is amazing at being able to support connections between mama and Pepe.
Okay, well, that's certainly very, very new to my understanding. So is that a service that's taken up a lot in the community?
So part of our Well Child Tamariki Kiora contract allows us to see whānau up to 7 appointment times between the age of 0 and 4 years of age, but our contract runs all the way up until 5 years of age. So we really look at tailor-making care delivery for our whānau according to what they are looking for, what they are needing. So we might see some whānau less than that, and we may see some whānau more, depending on what they are looking for, what support they are needing.
It does give you the opportunity to have a long-standing relationship with the whānau, though, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah,
which, of course, is lovely rather than a one-off kind of thing. Yeah.
Getting to know them and just spending time with them, understanding what it is that they want for their parenting goals, where they're travelling in their parenting journey and what they want to achieve.
Okay.
And that's where we can walk alongside and just support that.
Right. Okay. So I think a lot of whānau would be very happy to know that you're not there to tell them what to do. You're just there to actually, as you say, be alongside and support them as needs arise.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I know you also do lots of community work. Would you like to maybe tell us something about some of the things that you do out in the community?
Yes. We offer a range of services to help connect with other whānau in the community. So we run things like parenting groups, play groups. We have a family centre, toy libraries, as well as many other parenting programs. We offer things like breastfeeding support groups and mental health support as well. So we have a wide range of services that run within our communities.
So do these run in all communities across the country, or is it just, again, it's niche to the needs of local communities?
We really work hard to try and niche that with communities as to what communities need, what they're asking for. So we don't want to replicate services, and we don't want to put in services that are not valuable or not of value for a client. So we really work hard to make sure that it's what the community is saying, what they are looking for, what their mamas are asking for, what they need, and how we really build on layers connecting and growing support.
Right. And I think Jenny might talk to us a little bit further about some of the community activities that she's involved in, because I think she sees them as being really crucial to the work that she does in her role. Okay. So, Suzanne, you mentioned Plunket Line earlier. Can you tell us a bit more about how that works?
It is there to support parenting, anything really. Anyone can call the 0800 number, so that's 0800 933 922. It's a free service. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for anyone in New Zealand. It's also free to call from a cell phone. So you can call Plunket Line looking for support or advice, information on parenting and child health and wellbeing up until your tamariki's aged 0 to 5.
Well, that's quite a commitment, actually. 24-hour service.
Yes. When you call, the phone call will be answered by a registered nurse, so a registered Plunket nurse, so they are well equipped to be able to answer and support whānau and their questions.
Okay. Well, that sounds, is it a well-used line?
Very well used.
Yeah.
We are also offering now some additional services through Plunket Line, and that is being able to link in using video chat services to gain breastfeeding support and things like sleep and settling support for parents.
Okay, so those awful middle of the night moments when parents are at the end of their tether and don't know what to do. I think we've probably, if we're parents, I think we've all gone through those moments. So that sounds to me like something that is enormously valuable. I'm just wondering, do Plunket nurses in Canterbury answer 0800 numbers from around the country? Is this something that's shared across the motu?
So we have a team that are based in Wellington, but right. We also have nurses dotted around the country that work on Plunket Line right. services. So they may range all the way from Southland all the way up to the top of North Island. So yes, they do have nurses that are sitting in communities, so they understand the communities in which they're getting answering calls from.
Yeah, well, that sounds like an amazing national initiative. Yeah,
very cool.
Fantastic. Wouldn't have minded that when I was younger. Okay. So you've also touched on a number of other things that you offer. What about before baby is born?
Yes, we do. So we provide parenting and pregnancy classes, formerly known as antenatal, on behalf of, or we have a contract with Health New Zealand, and we do that across some of our South Island spaces in Canterbury, South Canterbury and the West Coast, and also across some of our North Island sites as well. So antenatal classes or our parenting and education classes are a fantastic way to meet other expectant parents, get practical advice and support on birth in the early days of parenting. You can find more information about this on our website.
Okay. I was just going to ask you how often these courses run. Are they regularly run?
Absolutely. Okay. They run at a regular basis right throughout the year.
Okay. That's great. Well, one thing I know, which is a bit of a hot potato, I guess, I know immunisation's been in the news a lot lately, more with outbreaks of measles. I saw that on your website as well. And so these outbreaks of measles for the first time in decades, really, which is a shame that we're back to that stage. But I know you've got a really robust immunisation program. Can you tell us a bit more about how that works?
Yeah. So we have now moved into a pilot phase of trialling the offer of immunisations across the Motu. So you can now get your tamariki immunised at selected Plunket sites, along with MMR vaccines, so the measles vaccines for the whole whānau. We know it can be really tricky to keep up to date with a child's vaccinations along with all of the other mahi that comes with being a parent. We are running a pilot program, so that's in partnership with Health New Zealand to help make immunisation more accessible to whānau. So at the moment, we've got 24 clinics running across the country, which is pretty exciting. And we have two new sites in Southern. So we have one in Christchurch based at Twigger Street, and we also have one in Dunedin. We're hoping that when we move into the new year, so in 2026, we'll be able to extend that out to provide more offerings into some of our more rural communities, so our clinics out at North Canterbury and South Canterbury, and also start looking at doing a in-home home visitation service for immunisations.
Okay, so how is that working? I mean, being able to offer that in conjunction with Health New Zealand and for everyone in the whānau to actually have access to important vaccines, is there a huge uptake on that?
Yes, we're just starting to see their numbers drive upwards in our immunisation. I think what we can offer in that space is support. So we still absolutely are recommending that our whānau connect in with general practice to seek advice and support around immunisation. But where access becomes difficult or where, for example, appointment times is difficult to find, we can offer support in that space. What we've heard from our whānau is that they enjoy coming in to receive vaccinations in our sites because we are set up for children. Mm-hmm. So a child crying or essentially having a safe space to be able to sit and wait post a vaccine, we have those child-friendly spaces to offer, which has been a huge bonus for whānau. And so that's what they're feeding back to us.
Oh, okay. That sounds amazing. I know that you've got a whole range of contracts that you hold too, and hopefully down the track you'll be able to tell us a bit more about those, perhaps not today, but
that'd be great.
Yeah, thanks for giving us such a clear big picture overview of the scope of whānau Āwhina Plunket's work. It's certainly miles broader than I had ever conceived of. So Suzanne, we'll come back to you shortly. I'd now like to invite Jenny to talk about her work. Welcome, Jenny. It's great to have you with us too today. And I believe that your role is slightly different from other Plunket nurses.
Yeah, I work as an Asian health worker. So my role is to support the Plunket nurses. And I've been in this role for 12 years. So Plunket nurses, they will visit families. And if they visit a migrant family that they felt needed extra support, they will send me in and they'll ask me to support the families.
I imagine in 12 years you will have seen a lot of changes and developments.
Yes.
Yes, a lot more need for someone in your role.
And, yes, actually. Even the demographics of people coming in has changed and the needs have changed. Yeah. So what I do as a health worker is once I get a referral from the Plunket nurses, I'll go in a home visit and then I'll support the family with parenting information, link them up with support services. And I also do joint visits with Plunket nurses or to support them with like cultural bridging and also with languages. Yeah.
And you yourself are a Mandarin speaker and a Japanese speaker, I believe.
Yes, and a Malay speaker.
Malay speaker as well.
Yes.
Okay.
And then for...
Multilingual.
Yes. And for languages that I can't speak, we are lucky that we are funded. We can call interpretation services. So we want families to be able to speak and share what they want. So I can use interpretation services to support families as well for all the other languages.
Yeah. And I know, Jenny, that you haven't come... from a migrant background yourself, I imagine that gives you huge insights into what it means to be new to a country and all of the challenges and the excitements and everything that comes with that. So tell us a little bit about what brought you into the role in terms of your own background.
Yes, so I'm Malaysian. My husband is Japanese. And when I had my first baby, when she was 6 months old, my husband suddenly decided that he wanted to move to Japan. So with a 6 month old language, I moved to Japan, and there were lots of challenges, lots of tears. So, and how I came into this role is I just moved to New Zealand. My kids were 8 and 9. We settled in. I was volunteering for Citizens Advice Bureau, and then two people told me about this role. So and suggested, they said, "Oh, I think you'll be suitable for this role." So I applied and have been with Plunket since then. And talking about the challenges of moving to a new country, well, first there's isolation.
Mm.
So in your country, you could have, you know, like, established a job, you have family, you have friends, but when you come here, it's a totally new start. No family, no job, no friend. So when I came to New Zealand, my husband didn't have a job and we're just using savings to survive. And then another key thing is the environment. Everything is totally different. The school system, the health system, the laws of the country, everything is different. So like in Malaysia, I grew up, there's a school bus that will take me to school. So the school bus will come to your home, pick you up, go to school. When I went to Japan, there's no school bus, but my kids will walk to school with a group of school friends. And then another thing that was quite surprising to me is that since they started primary one, they will, you know, they can have a key and then they can come into the house after school by themselves with the key. I was like, oh, is that safe? But then coming to New Zealand is different again. So you're not allowed to stay, you know, like a kid under 14 can't stay alone in the house. So, you know, it's just, you know, coming to a new country and having to work out. Like,
having to negotiate your way through a huge swamp, really, of uncertainties.
Yes. Yeah. And then you just don't know what's, yeah.
It sounds to me as if you bring very empathetic shoes to your role because you've been there and so on. You actually can put yourself into the shoes of people who are new.
Yes. Yeah. And I guess once you've been there, you can see there's challenges because if you've never been there, you wouldn't even think about them not understanding the system, like the health system, things like that.
I don't think most of us understand a lot of things, even if we were born here, but we get what you're saying, Jenny.
and it's not even like, you know, even simple things like shopping.
Yep.
That is very, very stressful. Like when I came to New Zealand, I didn't know what is Bepanthen. I didn't know what is pseudo cream. And then I see all the families using that. And I was like, oh, what's that? So even medication, even like food, like hummus, what's that?
Mm.
Yeah, so things like that. Yeah, it's quite quite tricky.
There's a lot for people to adjust to, as well as having a baby in a new country without the support of family at home. But, I mean, we do... sometimes it's easy to make assumptions about migrant groups, but we know that they don't necessarily all share similar backgrounds or experiences. So what kinds of migrant family situations do you encounter? Are there different kind of groups of migrants? I'm assuming that many have come for quite different reasons.
Yes. A lot of the families that I see are dependent on the immigration laws. And then based on the immigration laws changes, you start to see different groups of family that we support. So like one of the main groups that I see quite often now, you know, like it could be a migrant husband. He has been here for some time. And then through matchmaking, he brought a wife from his own country. And then the wife comes without language, lots of struggles.
Moving away from own family as well. Yeah. So, support systems.
Yes. So lots of struggles for the family. There's isolation, could be maternal mental health, trying to negotiate the swamp that you were saying earlier. And then also, if their relationship is not that great, there could be family harm, you know, like controlling, all that.
So you're working in a very complex and sensitive environment often in order to make sure that the families you work with are supported in the best ways possible and given the kind of understandings that they might need to help them thrive. Mm. Yeah.
Another struggle that I see is that parents who come here they've been here since high school, they've settled in New Zealand, so they know both cultures, they know their own culture, they know the culture here, and they are more receptive to Western culture, and they want to try all these new things. When they have a baby, they have families that come to support them, and then lots of conflict with parenting. And
Yes, that's an interesting thought, that one. Yeah. Mm. Okay, so and I guess we also have refugees. Just wondering, how do you manage your workload? What are your strategies? Because I know that you do work out in the community, Jenny.
How do I manage my workload? It's quite difficult because that's just one of me and I can't continuously visit a family many, many times and I only work 3 days a week. So what I try to do is I try to use the model of community supporting community. So I might link a family to services, like link them up to English classes, link them up to the library services. So link them up with services that they can access. And then another thing that I do is I facilitate groups. So I'll facilitate like a massage group. And then that's a 5 weeks targeted to young parents. So one of the key issues is isolation. So by having a safe space, they can come together. We do some icebreaker for them to get to know each other. And then through the 5 weeks, they build connections. And then speaking about that, just recently, the last massage group that I ran, the mother just sent me a picture. And it was a picture of her and the other mothers in the massage group. And they went out for a gathering with the family. And it was at the park. And I was like, oh, that's so heartwarming. So it's just, I feel like, Plunkett is sometimes like, I hope that it can be like a stepping stone where they come in, they jump in, they make connections, and then they feel more confident, and then they jump out and they do their own things and they are,
starting to integrate a lot more closely into the communities. Yeah. Yes,
and also run an international parenting group where we have like an English conversation class because one of the barriers is like communication. Mm. And then, once they have the language, they can be more confident to go out. And also another struggles that I see, we talked about parenting, like different parenting styles. And we also, I also facilitate a circle of security parenting course. And then I target mainly, I do it for the migrant community and help give them tools that they can have better connection, yeah, with their child.
Okay, thank you. Well, thanks, Jenny, because I can imagine lots of people make new friends through the invaluable work that you do. So unexpected bonuses of the ways in which you work. So I had a final question for you, Suzanne, really about, we know that your organisations are not-for-profit. How are you funded? We might run out of time before you can answer this.
Absolutely. So we have we gather some funding through Health New Zealand, so through some of our contracts that sit in that space. But we also rely on a large portion of our funding to come from fundraising, especially for our community teams. So we are constantly, you know, looking for that space. We are very lucky to be able to have teams that support us in that, to reach out to volunteers, but also to donators who will be able to help us out.
Okay, so people can donate and volunteer.
Yes.
That sounds a typical situation for not-for-profits, which is fantastic. So how can people can contact you through your website?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's www.plunkett.org.nz, or they can phone in on 0800 184 803 if they're looking for any further information around our services or how they become a volunteer or how they would like, if they wanted to donate, just give us a call. We're happy to have a chat.
Excellent. Thanks, Suzanne. Thanks, Jenny. It's been great to have you both with us today, and we really appreciate the wonderful mahi that you do to support whānau. In this very special and often very stressful time in their lives. And all of the ongoing work that you do to support tamariki over their first 5 years. So thanks for your time and for joining us today. Suzanne and Jenny have given us an incredibly clear insight into the huge range of supports for babies, their mums and whānau offered by Whānau Āwhina Plunkett, an organisation which is hard to believe it's been running for over a century. So their services are many, and we suggest that you get onto their website and look up and see just the huge range. Health and development checks, Plunkett Line and so forth. So Plunkett also offers specialist support for families newer to New Zealand to help them overcome some of the challenges faced by any new migrant. So check out their amazing website, as Suzanne said, plunkett.org.nz. And thanks to our guests Suzanne and Jenny today. And finally, thanks for listening, everyone. Until next month, mā te wā. Just a reminder that this show can be found as a podcast. Just go to the Plains FM website and look for Cab on Air. In the meantime, if you're looking for information on any topic, but especially if they relate to your rights in New Zealand, you can contact us at Cab in person, by phone, emails and through our website, and a lot of other ways as well, I think. We provide verifiable, accurate and confidential information to help you understand what your next steps should be. So tune in next month when we'll highlight another organisation providing information and support within our community. Kia ora, thank you for listening. Until next time, mā te wā.